Yo, what's up, my people, mi gente? Welcome to another episode of What's Next. I'm your host, Lou Maroto, and today we have another special guest that I'm excited about. Been hitting him up for a little bit, and we've met through social media, and a great dude nonetheless. But before we get into the meat and potatoes, let me just say thank you to the people that have given me the opportunity to stay here in front of these cameras, who have given me the platform to have What's Next with Lou Maroto, right? Because nothing's easy, and I got to say I was blessed by Simpatico Real Estate. If anyone's looking for commercial residential properties, give Simpatico Real Estate, my man Tommy Morrison. Thank you for always having my back. Also, Bushel Stop. If you, again, also residential and commercial landscaping needs, give my man Joe Van Reef a call, because they have 6 locations in South Florida, and they he is another friend of mine that has blessed me with some of the equipment that we're using today for this podcast. So again, thank you and welcome to everyone that's joining us. Remember, please hit the like, the subscribe button. I know it's a redundant phrase, but it does help me gain those followers to continue doing what I love to do, is hearing other people's stories that maybe may affect someone else who's going through the same trials and tribulations. And you might be giving them a little bit of information. You might be giving them some information that you know, they might be going left and you might turn them back right. So again, thank you for joining, and you guys sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, because this is going to be a great episode. So, Critical.
Lou, what up, Lou?
My man, thank you for being a part of today's episode, for blessing us with your presence, man, because I love your music, and we're going to speak about that here in a minute. But let's do like pretty much everyone else. Let's start from the beginning. Tell me where you're from, where you grew up. Give me some background on you.
Well, I'm originally born in Brooklyn, New York. My family moved to Staten Island, New York. I did most of my growing up in Staten Island, New York. And for the past few years now, I've been living down here in West Palm Beach, Florida.
How big of a change was that for you from New York to West Palm, and how did you end up here?
I mean, the transition has been seamless, easy, enjoyable. For me personally, it's like night and day out here, the way of life, the scenery, just everything about it is uplifting and exciting, and you know, kind of gives you that boost that you need, you know, for me personally, to get out there and chase it. It was just like a brand new beginning for me.
Did you have family down here before you moved?
No, I didn't have family down here. I had a friend that lived down here, and you know, was coming back and forth visiting them, and then, you know, through all of that, came to fall in love with the area, and just figured this was the right spot to be. You know, I was, you know, growing up in New York, you kind of get accustomed to the hustle and bustle. Everything's like quick paced, always now, and you know, coming down here was like a little bit more slow paced, but you know, there's still life down here. There's still action. It's not boring. You know, it's not Miami. And that's also kind of like why we chose this area, because I just, you know, I was trying to get away from like the mass of people everywhere and too much stuff going on. I was looking to tone it down a notch.
Yeah, kind of like if you stop walking, somebody runs over you in New York.
Yeah, right? And then
down here, people, for the most part, people are nice, friendly, you know. Uh-huh. They're not going to run over you.
No. Nah. Well, on the road, driving, they might run you over.
For real. Jesus Christ, you can't drive down here. Let me ask you real quick. Tell me how the name Critical came about.
So the name Critical came about through two instances. Critical, I derived it from who was my favorite rapper at the time growing up, which was the RZA. And from Wu-Tang Clan, and he had an alias that was Bobby Digital. And, you know, I always loved the RZA. He was always my favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan. And kind of like a homage to him, I made my name Matty Critical, because my first name is Matt. And I replaced the C's with K's, you know, out of respect to my older brother who was always supporting me musically, and his graffiti tag was K. So I swapped out the C's with the K's, and that's how I came up to that. And then as I got older, you know, I just thought Maddie sounded corny, so I dropped Maddie and was just strictly critical. But it fits me well because I'm a fairly critical person. I always overthink and overanalyze, and, you know, I don't really let anything just go right by me.
Bro, you might like, what's he saying in Spanish? There's a word like, yo, like you my brother, like I'm the same way, you know, like I'm critical about things. And like you say, I can't just let things go by.
Nah, I can't, just can't.
So tell me, so what high school did you go to in Brooklyn or Staten Island?
In Staten Island, I was going to Tottenville High School, until they finally got fed up with me and threw me out of the school after doing my freshman year 3 years in a row. You know, school really wasn't for me. By the time I got to high school, you know, I actually had broke my arm and had to get a screw in my arm, and it was in my right arm, and I wasn't able to write, and I kind of just like was like fed up. I never really liked, you know, I didn't like schooling, and that was just an excuse for me to just be like, you know, fuck this. And, you know, I was already making music, I had a job, I was working already, so, you know, I was never just like lazy lying around doing nothing. I just didn't like school.
Tell me what got you into music besides growing up in New York and that vibe?
I would have to attribute some of it to my father. My father was a musician. He sang, wow. He played the guitar. He was in bands when he was younger. And, you know, I just always had an affinity for music, whether it was like being a young kid singing songs or doing fake music videos or, you know, I was in the band in school. I played the trombone and the saxophone. And just as I got older, progressed, you know, attaching more to the music that I loved and enjoyed. And, you know, I first started out trying to DJ. I saved up some money, bought some turntables and stuff. I think there were Newmarks, some pieces of shit, some purple things. And DJing wasn't for me. And then I remember one of my brother's friends, we were all talking about music and stuff, and he was talking about how difficult it was to rap, that it was like, you know, you had to be highly skilled. And I was like, well, yeah, let me see if I can do it. And my brother's friend had like a 4-track recorder. I wrote a verse, we recorded it, and the rest is history.
You found that as a challenge?
I didn't really find it a challenge. I found it very enjoyable. And, you know, that was when I was 12. I'm 39 now, and I've never looked back.
That's what's up, man. So, yo, tell me like one of your first performances or times that you've been on the stage, and maybe what song or what did you sing?
I definitely do not remember my first performance, nah. But I remember like when I was first starting out, there were a lot of like open mics and showcases, and I would definitely take part in a lot of those. I don't remember my first performance though, but you know, I always loved it being up on a stage in front of the crowd, and you know, especially getting a good reaction from the crowd is, you know, it's what you do it for.
No, it's almost like for me public speaking. You know, you gotta you get up there. Sometimes you get the butterflies, but once you see the crowd that you gain them, you want them.
Yeah.
Now you like you start spitting out whatever material you gotta spit out. So you come down here. And that's when I kind of started seeing you on social media, and I liked the songs that you were putting out. Tell me where are you headed right now? Where are you at in that phase of life in your career?
So right now I'm just focusing on consistently putting out music, constantly creating new music. Shout out to my producer Sal Mason. You know, he's like the battery in my back. He guides me and through this whole process and tries to get me to see things from, you know, his perspective is, you know, because sometimes from an artist, you could just be real, I don't want to say egotistical, but maybe selfish, or, you know, you just want to do things your way and you're not looking at things a certain way. But we're just trying to consistently put out music. You know, we'll take shows as we get them. You know, I still do licensing for movies, TV shows, commercials, all types of stuff like that. And we're trying to build a brand, you know, Scooty Shades, trying to focus everything on the sunglass brand.
And I've been following that, some really nice products. So if you haven't had a chance to check out Scooty Shades, where would someone go to
To find some Scooty Shades?
Yeah.
ScootyShades.com. S-C-O-O-T-Y Shades.com.
There you go.
Easy.
Easy peasy. what's next for you? What's on the burner right now?
Right now I'm in the process of actually opening up a couple of barbershops here in South Florida. I've also been a barber for as long as I can remember. Not as long as I've been doing music, but almost just as long. So, starting to branch out and do that down here and just continue to focus on working hard, putting out videos, putting out music, putting out new sunglasses and, just
I love the entrepreneurship, you're doing the music and then at the same time, you don't stay in one lane. You got different options in life.
Yeah, and that's for everybody, not just me. Everybody got different options. You just got to act on them. And, I'm just driven. I'm like a workaholic. I don't like to sit around and do nothing. I got to stay constantly busy.
Yeah, and that's a great message for those that are listening that maybe one track is the word. I don't know. But you can do other things in life besides that one particular thing that you have presently going and be successful. But like you said, you got to keep moving. You can't just stay in one lane this time.
Yeah, no, you can't be stagnant. You don't know what opportunity you have is going to hit. So, I just try to put 100% into everything that I do and stay consistent.
And see what happens, man. Right. Tell me, I know you recently performed it down here in West Palm at Sunfest.
I did.
And I remember, I think I sent you a little text or something because... everybody knows I'm a police officer, and I have the opportunity to be on top of these buildings during those events. And I've seen so many people where, I'm not saying in your case, but I've seen it where someone's out there giving their 100%, and it might be a small crowd. Mm-hmm. But then 3 years later, that same person that was up there with 10, 15 followers is now at Madison Square Garden, and that's how it goes.
Uh-huh.
So what gives you the strength and the energy when you're doing a show like Sunfest, and maybe it's not 50,000 people, whatever the crowd is, what gives you the strength to like keep pumping it forward?
I mean, just loving what you do, those are like notches off the block doing something like that and just being up there, whether it's, for me, it's actually a lot easier to perform in front of a massive crowd than it is to a smaller crowd because you could see all the eyes on you when it's a smaller crowd. When it's a large crowd, you kind of get lost in it and, you're just doing your thing. And obviously there's energy there and you feel it and you get pumped up and stuff. But I like when there's a lesser crowd. It's a little more intimate. You lock in eyes with people in the audience, you can see
people
their facial expressions.
You.
Yeah, you can see it. You can see them singing the lyrics. I'm sure you can see that. You can see it with larger crowds as well, but it's a little more intimate.
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, if people would like to follow you and see you on social media, where would people find you?
Everywhere, on every social media platform, I'm under KRTNYC. And then there's ScootyShades.com and ScootySchool.com, and that's COOO.com.
Yo, and that Scooty School song, I love that song.
Thank you.
I've seen I see all your videos, and I'm kind of changing the topic just a little bit because you post pretty much almost daily, right?
I try to be pretty
you're consistent.
Yeah.
You're very consistent on posting. And you have these like, I don't know, was it called a one-liner?
I don't know what you call it.
But it's very catchy.
Uh-huh.
Tell me how that started.
So when I first moved down here, coming from New York, unfortunately I had a DUI in New York and I had lost my license. And in New York, you don't really need your license. there's public transportation everywhere. So I never got my license. And during the pandemic, I had bought a one-wheel. And I would just ride that thing around for fun, just to pass time. And then when I moved down here, I didn't have a vehicle yet. So I was riding my one wheel, whether I ride it to, to the barbershop or to the beach or wherever I was going. And just to keep myself busy, I started recording these videos while I was riding on the one wheel. And they started, I was getting a good reaction from them, just speaking my mind on stuff. And all of a sudden, a couple of my videos just, took off, went viral. And, now, people... people get mad at me if I don't post them. I got to keep posting them. A lot of people reach out to me. They tell me I'm doing it all in comedic fun. I'm trying to be funny, you know, put a smile on people's face. But I'm also trying to be truthful with what I say. I'm not just, you know, talking nonsense. And, you know, apparently I'm touching a lot of people. I'm helping people. And for me, that's everything that I do entertainment wise is all about connecting with people. And if I can, you know, connect with people and put a smile on their face or help them out, you know, that's a job well done on my end.
Bro, you're doing a phenomenal job, because I know I look for them like kind of like the newspaper, you know. And I saw today, I think
it was today.
That was hilarious. I think it was fellas, it takes two people.
It takes two people to ruin a relationship: your girl and her mom.
And I almost pissed my pants, man. I was riding in the car and I was looking at the video and I said, "Bro, that's just hilarious." What's the glasses? Mm-hmm. Is there any other products that you presently have for sale or that you're presenting to the public?
Yeah, you know, I have some merch and stuff like that, some Scooty School merch. We got hats, t-shirts, bathing suits and stuff like that. But, you know, that's, to me, I'm just providing some merch with that. The real goal and focus is focusing on the Scooty Shades eyewear brand and, you know, taking it to the next level.
There's a lot of different styles, man. They're really nice. So
thank you.
Make sure you cop a pair, man. Support my man Critical and support small business.
Yeah.
Right? Support small business. Don't go to the big companies, you know, with these fluffy names.
They don't care about you. Same quality from a brand you can love and respect, right? Made right here in the USA.
That's what's up. Critical, tell me one of your biggest trials and tribulations that you've had in your life that caused you to change your ways.
Change my ways.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe you were undecisive on a certain thing in life, and you just say, you know what, this is making me go this way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, growing up, I was definitely not headed on the right track. You know, I got into like, you know, selling drugs, selling weed, selling ecstasy and shit like that, and you know, getting in trouble with police, getting locked up, getting arrested, you know, getting thrown out of school. And you know, I don't know what had happened, but one day, like, I had just come across this video from this dude. His name is Sadhguru. I guess he's a guru, you know, for, like, yoga and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I think I just, like, went down the rabbit hole and was watching hours upon hours of his videos. And what Sadhguru does is kind of try to put life in perspective, you know, and everything he was saying was kind of clicking. It made sense. And then I ended up going to, like, one of his retreats. And it was, you know, it was just like a group of people put us in a room. We had to be quiet for 3 hours. Nobody could talk. Then, you know, then they took us to a park in Manhattan and we played dodgeball and then did some meditation and stuff like that. And after that, I don't know, like my whole like train of thought started changing and I started, you know, putting life in a different perspective and started, you know, trying to go down a better path.
That's what's up, man.
Meditation definitely helps, you know.
It does. You know what? And I started doing yoga.
Uh-huh.
You know, we fortunately for us, we have a lady that comes every Tuesday at 6:30 in the morning at the PD.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's only four people, but I'm sure it'll grow. But yeah, it is, you know, like mentally,
mm-hmm,
a peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, after you do all the maneuvers, and some of them things are not easy the positions or the poses. But you know, at the end, how they tell you, hey, all right, this is like almost relaxed time, take your mind to another place.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I fell asleep and I started snoring. So my mind, I don't know where it went, but it almost didn't come back.
Yeah, but you know, it's good sometimes, you know, you just give your mind a break. I mean, when we would do it, we would, they would give us certain like mantras to focus on and, you know, you just focus on your breathing and everything and you just give your brain a break from, you know, we live
from everyday life.
The world is a crazy place. It's good to detach, look, you know, sit back, overlook everything from a distance and, you know, figure out what you want to do and get it done.
That's what's up. Let's go back to hip hop a little bit. Who's one of your biggest artists out there that you put on? Who's your top five rappers out there? I know it's hard. I know it's hard to say that, ask that question. But I don't know what we all listen to.
I don't have a top five. Okay. You know, I always get asked this question, and then I come up with a top five. I wouldn't say I have a top five, but I'll always like end up resorting back to like Nas, DMX, Biggie, and then we can, you know, just throw toss ups. Like the RZA was, you know, one of my favorite artists. I don't know if he has like the body of work to where we can put it up against someone like, you know, Nas or DMX, where they got these multiple albums. And even Biggie, even Biggie's career was short-lived, but I think he had such an impact on the industry. You know, Big Pun was, you know, amazing. I mean, I grew up in New York in the 90s, growing up with all those artists. Like, it's kind of, you know, everybody brings something different to the table.
What? I saw something recently where they were trying to do... I forget what they call it. They did it in Madison Square Garden where like the Locks did against Dipset. What was that challenge?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, where they do like artists.
Yeah,
artists
versus battle, artists. Right? They supposedly battle against each other.
Yeah.
But long story short, they were mentioning Jadakiss. How would Jadakiss be against like Hove? You know what?
I mean, I would give it to Jadakiss. You know, I'm personally not a Jay-Z fan. I never was. But, I mean, I'm in one of Jadakiss's videos, so I'm going to give Jadakiss.
Which one?
It's called Taste of That. It's Jadakiss and Fred the Godson. We filmed that out in the Bronx.
Bro, I'll tell you a quick story. My nephew in New York was very good friends with Kiss and the whole Locks. So they were down here in Miami many years ago. I think We're Gonna Make It was, I think, one of the first songs they came out with. Mm-hmm. And I believe we were at Mansion. So my nephew invited me. He's like, your uncle, be down here with the crew. So I went down there, bro, and probably the best time I thought I was a rapper. yo, Critical, I was sitting in the VIP lounge, and of course, you know how they set these. There was like 30 bottles set out there for his crew. You know, everybody's smoking. And I'm saying, man, I'm going to get contact high here. I'm going to get tested at work. They're going to think I'll smoke. But the way the partying and the audience, bro, it was just a crazy feeling. Like, I said, y'all can't imagine being the artist with people all around you. Okay. And they were doing interviews and everything. And I think I was standing next to him. They were interviewing him. And I have no idea who it was, but... It was a cool feeling, man. Like we went to what was the drink place with the
where Willie?
Yes. So there's about 15 of us in there, and this is like the second time that I got to meet him, and he's buying. We go to pay, and he's like, "Nah, I got you guys, like, bro." A very humble dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, "Yo, I like this dude. I'm following his music."
Yeah, it's also awesome when you meet, you know, artists that you listen to and stuff, and they're cool, because a lot of them, you know, I've met a lot of artists and they're not all cool.
You know? I can't imagine. You know?
Especially, I used to work at nightclubs in Manhattan as an MC, working alongside DJ. So one of the parties that I worked at was like one of the, you know, it was the number one party in Manhattan on Monday nights, and artists would come through all the time. And, you know, it's a letdown, you know, you excited to meet one of the artists, and then they're just assholes, you know?
Oh, you just want
to... Pretty much.
But you went the other way.
Yeah.
What inspires you to make different songs, or what inspires you to make a song? What's your motivation?
My producer, Sound Mason, just sends me a beat, and, you know... Well, he'll send me multiple beats, and I'll go through them, and then, you know, I'm big on energy, and so like he'll send me music, and then certain songs will just stick out to me. You know, there'll be like an energy shift or something, and I feel like I can just relate to it. And I never actually say like, all right, I'm gonna make a song about this. I just listen to the music, and it comes to me. And you know, sometimes what comes out, you know, we scrap it, and I go back and do it again. But you know, I never go into a song thinking about, hey, I'm gonna make a specific type of song. I just let the music speak to me.
Mm. What? Now you record in different studios, or there's a specific studio you work at?
No, actually, I record out of my house, and then, you know, I've had my studio set up for God knows how long, and then, you know, I do all my vocals, and then I just send it to my producer, and, you know, he does all the mixing and mastering.
No, a lot of people in the industry do that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, because I saw, what's Kiss's right hand man, the white kid from Boston?
Oh, Millie's?
Millie's, and he had, you know, he set something up in a hotel room. Mm-hmm. With the cover,
mm-hmm.
and just spin stuff out, man.
Yeah, I mean,
and somebody's on a computer.
Yeah, you don't need to be in a $1 million studio. I record the way that I record because you know there's plenty studios that I could record at, and I just like being by myself. There's no distractions. You know, I've been in studio recording many a time, and then you know there's people around, and then people want to start talking. You know, because they're not focusing on what you're focusing on, so they don't give a shit. And so that's why I'm just like, you know, I need to just be by myself, do what I got to do, send it. If there's feedback, send it back. I'll fix it. You know, no distractions. Time is limited, you know?
Of course. Yeah. Time is money.
Yeah.
Time is money. Have you found that, you know, as you kind of are rising up in the ranks, that you're finding more friends?
Well, that always happens.
You know what I'm saying? Holding on to your shirt?
Anytime you, at least for me, anytime I've experienced anything that I would consider to be a success, you know, your phone starts ringing, the text messages, the DMs from people you haven't heard in from God knows how long. And
my cousin.
You know, it's just, for me, you know, I feel like I'm fully aware always, so I notice those things because, you know, if I haven't heard from you in a year and a half and now all of a sudden you're telling me we need to hang out, well, why is that? Why do we need to hang out all of a sudden? You know, where have you been? You know?
100%. People like that, man. They see an opportunity and they're like, I'm not putting in the work. I just got to be your friend.
Yeah, I just want to be affiliated.
So what's do you have a project right now you're working on that's coming out soon?
So I have no project in mind. Like, we're just focusing on one song at a time, putting out songs. And we feel like the hype is big enough, then we'll drop a full length project. But for now, just singles.
You know, Critical, I always wondered or asked myself that question. How do you artists actually pick that specific song that you're going to put out to the radio? You know, you may have a list of 16 and you just said you're going off of, you're feeding off of what people are saying, I guess, what people are listening.
Yeah, I mean, I just do song. If I write and record a song, I'm putting it out. What's the worst that happens? People don't like it, that's fine by me. You know, I'm making music for me. And if you happen to like it, hey, good for both of us. But, you know, if I don't like a song, I'm not putting it out. But if I record a song and I like it, we're putting it out.
Down here, are you? Do you have any siblings down here?
Down here, no, but I do have a brother and a sister, though. Okay. But all my family is up north, though.
And when you're not recording or promoting your glasses or your products or your merch, do you have another job? Do you do something else? Or this is 100% what Critical does every day?
No, and cutting hair. I'm a barber. I've been a barber for X amount of years. I can't, you know, probably 18, 19, 20 years. And, you know, as we're going to get into these opening up these other locations down here in South Florida. Shout out to District Barbershop.
Is that where you're at now?
Yep.
So, if you want to plug them in.
Yeah, District Barbershop.
Where they at? Where they located?
Downtown West Palm Beach on 223 South Olive Avenue. And we got locations coming soon to Lantana and Delray Beach.
You know, I think barbershop, owning a barbershop is such a... I've always wanted to own a barbershop, and the reason why, for me, was not money. It was the congregation, the camaraderie. You know what the old school barbershops used to be like, where people would come in and they'd talk shop.
Uh-huh.
Bro, and I told my wife, you know, I said, yo, I always wanted to own. She goes, you don't know how to cut hair. I said, I'm not cutting the hair. I said, I just want to own it, and I just want to be a part of those conversations.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I wouldn't tell you no, and I wouldn't tell you yes. The barbering industry is, you know, it's not for everybody. It's, you know, barbers are unique people, so they're a special type of person that you have to deal with.
100%
as far as hiring.
Yeah, and you know the skills
and the skills.
You know, the test that you have to take to become a barber. Mm-hmm. I believe it's harder than a law enforcement test.
I don't know. You know, it depends, I guess, where you do the test. When I did the test, you know, it was almost 2 decades ago. And I just had to go.
It's a lot of hours.
Though. It's hours, yeah.
The client, the course or whatever.
1,500 hours, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But hey, I don't want my line here. And
hey, you'd be surprised. They barely teach you how to cut hair in barber school. They just want to make the biggest key to barber school is they want to make sure you know how to be hygienic and clean your tools and not spread disease. The haircutting, as you can see, a lot of people walking around with fucked up haircuts.
Bumps.
They're not teaching haircutting.
Bro, I go to a barbershop down in, and I might change because you're promoting this spot.
Hey.
But, you know, they do good lines, but hygiene-wise, they're not on point, you know.
Yeah, and that's
huge.
Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, there's things like ringworm or whatever, things even as worse as, you know, as bad as HIV. You can't, you got to be clean.
Especially when they're doing the edging, you know, with that blade and shit. So, where do you see yourself in let's just say, within the next 5 years? What do you see yourself?
In the next 5 years, I see myself, you know, with a lot more money, number one.
That's a good thing.
Owning multiple businesses. Having expanded my social media reach, you know, drastically, enormously, and, you know, Scooty Shades being a household name inside the eyewear community.
What would you tell someone that was in your position when you first started and are trying to do the same thing you are? What advice would you give somebody?
You know, you just have to, you need discipline. You need a lot of discipline, and you need to be very consistent, and you need to not care what people say or think. You know, I'm not saying, you know, completely disregard everything that people say, because people do give good advice, and sometimes you could not listen to it because your ego. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, even your own parents, your siblings, even your spouse, you know, they would try to talk you out of doing things because, you know, they don't think it's possible for themselves to do something similar. So, you know, kind of got to block out a lot of the negativity and just be focused and dedicated, you know, to the best of your ability, because there's other people out there working as hard, if not harder, than you.
100%. Some of that, and that's one of the best statements ever, is someone's working twice as hard as you are right now.
Mm-hmm. To do the same exact thing.
So, I'm trying, bro, I had like a million questions and I got directed here. What's your next venue? What venue would you like to see yourself in?
Performing wise?
Yeah, performing wise.
I mean, I definitely would like to perform at the Red Rocks in Colorado. I don't know if you're familiar with that venue. It's built into like the mountain.
Oh, wow.
And the acoustics in that venue are crazy. You know, the whole seating structure is the mountain. Like, they cut out seats into the mountain and the stage is in there. Yeah, that would be a venue that I would definitely want to perform at.
Not when you say acoustics, not...
Like the sound, yeah, and everything.
Is that something like, say, like Australia, that one big music stadium or hall? It's really big. I forget the name of it, but... A lot of singers, opera singers.
Oh, that opera house?
Yeah.
Probably. Well, I've never been there. I've actually been to a show at the Red Rock, so, you know, I've felt it and experienced it. So, for me, that was like, man, I want to do this. But, I mean, acoustics play a real big part in performing. That's why you see a lot of performers, a lot of times they're wearing headphones and stuff, because a lot of the sound and noise gets drowned out, and you can't really hear what's going on.
Oh, the little earpieces. Yeah. That's the reason they wear that.
And then also from the crowd standpoint, you know, you want them to hear. That's one thing that I've always took a lot of pride in was sound quality. You know, you'll go to rap shows, and you know, it sounds like, you know, even if it's not mumble rap, it'll sound like mumbling. There's 15 people on the stage shouting and yelling, and you know, I want to sound as close to the recorded song quality as possible. And I feel like a lot of artists don't do that. And it's not just hip hop music, it's rock, whatever. So, you know, people have an idea in their head of when they hear the song, and I want to duplicate that.
So, well, who's the person that you would love to do a collab with? I know, and again, that's kind of like a open-ended question because there's a lot, so many people out there that are good, and I'm sure you would want to collab with them. But who's somebody you critical would want to do a show with?
To perform?
Yep.
To perform? Maybe like System of a Down. You know who they are?
No, I don't. I'll be honest on that one.
They're like a hard rock band, but I've seen them perform live a bunch of times, and they're fucking awesome. And I would like to.
They have the energy that you like.
Yeah, you know, maybe not the same crowd, but I like the energy. Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
High energy.
And is that rock? You said
that's rock music. Yeah.
Rock music.
They're not. Okay. I don't. You know, they might still be. I haven't really heard much from them now, but you know, they're from years ago.
Okay.
So. You've definitely heard the music. You might just not know it. So.
Yeah. Now I know they do a lot of shows down in downtown West Palm.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Respectful.
Respectful.
They bring a lot of different artists in there.
Yeah, they System of a Down might be too big for them. You know, they were a big band. They've worked with like Rick Rubin and stuff like that.
Oh wow, yeah, those are major producers from
Rick Rubin from Def Jam. Yeah.
Def Jam. Mm-hmm. So, what about Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to perform in Madison Square Garden.
Is that
Garden,
the mecca of?
I mean,
not really.
For me, you know, people will probably get mad at it, but I'm kind of detached from New York at this point, and I don't really, you know, outside of seeing friends and family, doesn't do it for me.
Okay. Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
So.
And the bagels and the pizza, though.
I'm on up there first week in August with my kids. Hang out for my birthday.
Nice.
So what's I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question for you. What are you mostly a solo artist, or do you bring? Do you perform with other artists?
No, I'm mostly solo. I'm kind of a loner. You know, I like to do stuff by myself. I like to be by myself. I don't really, you know, I never really give any thought to like collaboration or anything like that. I just
if it happens,
yeah. I like things to occur naturally and not forced. Yeah, you know.
I like that, man.
Thank
I like
you.
That. So, well, I think I got most of the information that I want to add to you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please follow my man Critical. Some outstanding music. Please follow him on his social media platforms. I'll definitely have all that stuff in my description when we do the video. I'll put the description for your merch and your products and all that stuff. So, do you have anything you want to add? Anything you would like to say? In reference to the business?
I mean, just shout out to everybody who's been showing me love since all my videos started going viral. Supporting the videos, supporting the music, supporting the sunglasses. Shout to my man Lou right here for having me on the show.
Thank you.
And definitely shout to West Palm Beach 561 for showing nothing but love.
That's what's up. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say thank you again for joining us. Again, watch my man Critical. My man's blowing up. You're going to see him more and more and more. He's definitely not going away.
Nope.
He's definitely not going away. I can tell with his energy right here. I can feel it. You know, it's just pure positive thoughts, man. So thank you, and I look forward to putting this on as soon as I can so you guys can enjoy it even more. So. Oh.